Hey everybody, this is B on Dot Paul Podcast, Stuff About Stuff. So let's be a little lighthearted today and talk about cats. Yep, those cats. Anybody who knows me knows that I like cats. I've had cats my entire life, or maybe they've had me. So let's run through them. For my recollection of my cats in my life. Starting out with Black Butt. Black Butt was a cat that lived in our front yard in a storm drain when I was a boy. And I would go out there and just sit out there, and he would come up and rub on me. He would not let you really pick him up or anything, and then I started giving him treats, and he just lived down there in the storm drain by himself. This was in Mississippi when I was a boy. Much later on, I got a little older. We had dogs and cats, and I had aquariums too. The whole cats and aquariums thing is actually kind of funny. My first real cat that lived in the house with me, her name, well, we went to the pet store and we bought her at a pet store, and she was white, she had one blue eye and one green eye, and I called her Diff, for different, of course, and this was in Mississippi as well. Much later on, she had a litter, several litters of kittens, and we kept one of her kittens. So she became grandmother, and one of her cats, which was white and had blue eyes, that was mother. And grandmother came to Texas with us, and mother stayed in Mississippi. Then also in Mississippi, we moved around. We left our home, and we moved to a townhouse on the other side of town, and to be closer to my mother's business and to focus on that. And I had this beautiful gray tabby, and I named him Montezuma, and he lived in Mississippi with us and in Texas with us. He was cool. He was really, really smart. That cat could open doors. He'd like go, "Hey bro, gonna go in here and make some dinner." You come back and the closet door would be open and he'd be in the closet sleeping. I know darn well that I shut the door and he was in the room sitting on a chair or looking out the window, and come back in, the door's open. So he had that going for him. He was very intelligent. Many years later, as a young man, I was living in Houston. Me and my wife, and sitting on the couch one day, probably watching football, looked over, and there's just this gray cat staring at us, gray kitten staring at us. And I was like, okay, here we go again, I thought to myself, and walked out there, and the cat leapt into my arms, and then it was all over with, and that was Smokey. And Smokey was from Houston, Texas. Many years later, living in Texas again, a different part of Texas, out at Lake Ray Hubbard, Mulder and Scully came along. They were from Dallas, Texas. When I adopted Mulder and Scully, they were probably 6 weeks old each. And I took Mulder home, but they would not let me take Scully home because she had to be spayed before she would leave, and she had to live a couple of more weeks before they could do that procedure on her. So that was my beginning with Mulder and Scully. Excuse me. Scully lived 15 years and passed away in Southern California when I was living there. And she was cremated, and her ashes were spread in Newport Beach. Mulder stayed with me, lived with me there in California, and then came back to Texas with me. And then we adopted T'Pol. T'Pol was a little Siamese cat that my mother had found out in her front yard. It was very, very weird that this little cat would just be out in the front yard. But my mom lived out in the country, so people dumped their pets out there all the time. And that's probably where T'Pol came from. I adopted T'Pol, brought her back. I was living in Dallas at the time, and Mulder taught her how to be a cat. It was so heartwarming to watch him raise her. Plus, I think he missed Scully, his friend. And then Mulder passed. T'Pol went to live with my ex-wife, and I was without a cat for about 6.5 years. I didn't like it because I didn't have anybody to talk to, but I was going through a transition in my life, and it would not have been a good place for a cat or a dog or anything. I got word from my sister, who lives in Tyler, Texas, that there was a cat that needed rescuing. I went there and rescued that cat. I named him Russell in honor of Russ Martin, the DJ here in Dallas that had passed. And Russell was sick. Took him to the doctor, and apparently he was sick, so we had to let Russell go. He was only with me for 4 days. And then Operation Kindness here in Dallas, which is a no-kill shelter for dogs and cats, had this beautiful orange tabby, and I went down and saw him, and that's Pratt that is living with me now. Pratt is 2 years and 11 months. His birthday is next month, so happy birthday, Pratt. And he's a big old orange tabby cat. And he is something else. Just love him to death. So, you know, what is a cat? You know, I think everybody knows that, you know, these are small carnivorous mammals, and people keep them as pets. You know, they're known for their agility, flexibility, and independent nature. The independent nature is what really struck me, because as a young man, I used to travel. I was busy. I was living my life, and I could go and do stuff and come back, and the cat wouldn't even know I was gone. And the only reason he would know I was gone is because the kibble bowl would need to be filled up. You know, they have soft fur, sharp claws, and keen senses, excellent vision and hearing. They can see almost in pitch black, and they can hear stuff that I just like. His ears, or their ears, will move, and I'm like, what's up? You know, and then 2 minutes later, a car will drive by, or a bird, or whatever it is, you know, what will happen. And I was like, oh, thanks for the heads up. You know, they're a bunch of breeds. We'll get into that. And they have different physical and behavior characteristics. I think the one characteristic is cats are aloof. They're known for their playfulness and obviously the aloof personalities. And they are skilled hunters. Grandmother, when I was a boy, I would be looking out the window in the living room. We had these plum trees, and the birds like to congregate around the plum trees. And grandmother would just waltz out there. You know, she's white as the driven snow. I could see her really easy. I'm not really sure if birds are colorblind or not or what. And she would just sit there in the grass, just sit, and then literally vertically jump 4 to 6 feet off the ground and catch a bird in mid-flight, bring it to the ground, and then bring it to me. And, you know, it would have a broken neck. She never ate the bird or anything, because that was, I guess, an offering to her human. You know, cats are beloved by a lot of people, just like dogs are, just like I assume iguanas are. So there are a bunch of breeds. So the most common in the United States is domestic short hair. I didn't know this, but they're called Moggies, or mixed breed cats. You know, it's the most common type of cat found in the American household. And they come in a variety of colors and coats and patterns. Maine Coon, those are those big old suckers. They're known for their large, you know, large bodies, tufted ears, and long bushy tails. And they're known as the gentle giants. And they are. They're very, very cool cats. I've never had a Maine. I looked at a couple of them on the Operation Kindness site. And they had, they weren't warnings, but hey, you're adopting a kitten that already weighs 22 pounds. You know, this full grown, it may be, I'm exaggerating, you know, and then, you know, all these things you would have to do. And like, okay, well, sure, you know, it's my friend, my companion, I'll take care of it. But when I saw Pratt, I just fell in love with the orange tabby. Siamese, like I said, to Paul was a Siamese. Very striking appearance, slender body, large ears, and deep blue almond eyes, that's for sure, and very vocal and very affectionate. They do like to talk to you. I always thought that Siamese were the Vulcans of the cat world, if you will. Persians, those are the ones with the long, long, luxurious fur. And they got the little pushed in noses and round faces. You know, Persian cats are calm and gentle, and considered lap cats. You'll see a lot of older ladies will have Persian cats. They never really did anything for me. And just much like bulldogs, which I like a lot, that's a lot of maintenance in the face area. And I'm not putting my hand near a cat's face or a bulldog's face. Ragdolls, tendency to go limp and relax when picked up. Ragdolls are known to be docile and affectionate, and soft plush fur. Don't know a lot about them. Sphinx, very striking, cats. You know, they, are hairless, have large ears. Sphinx-like looking, you know, if you didn't know anything about Egyptian culture, you know, the Sphinx, you know, well, apparently that's where that came from, where they worshipped cats, FYI. British Shorthairs, you know, they're a sturdy build, thick fur, round faces. They're calm and friendly. Known a couple of them, and they are very calm and friendly, and they are very stocky, kind of beefy creatures. Abyssinian, you know, distinctive, you know, thick coat, a wild appearance. They almost look like, you know, you have a bobcat in your house, you know. They're kind of big, too, and they are very curious and very playful. Kind of like a dog. You kind of have to have some good toys because they'll tear up your furniture. A Scottish Fold, folded ears, you know, stocky build, round face. I don't know a lot about these cats. I've seen them. Don't know a lot about them. You know, something that's interesting is the polydactyl cats. You know, those are the cats with five toes. If you look at a cat, they'll have four toes on all their paws. Polydactyl typically have five on their front and four on the back. I think the Hemingway cats were very famous for this. And since Hemingway's house and it was kind of an oasis and closed away, and they, you know, cats and dogs and all that, you know, they interbreed, you know, it's just like every generation, you know, in the Hemingway estate, you know, they're polydactyl. And, I kind of thought about trying to get one of those, and they're very expensive, so I said, nah, it's not right. Apparently, the polydactyls are popular being ship's cats, probably because of mousing, you know, because you're going to strike down a mouse, or rats, actually. You're going to need an extra toe, probably. That's just my guess. And orange tabby. So what is an orange tabby? You know, they're orange and it's a tabby. Also known as red tabbies. A lot of people will call them a red tabby. Predominantly orange or reddish, and has tabby markings, which are the stripes. Tabby is not a breed of cat, but rather a coat pattern. found in many breeds. See, that's something I'm learning. Domestic Shorthair, Domestic Longhair, Maine Coon, American Shorthair, and others. Tabby is characteristic by swirling patterns on the cat's fur. And this is what I always heard, distinctive markings resembling the letter M on the forehead. And that's true. Pratt's rocking the M hardcore up there. So it's a big old meow. And then stripes on face and body and limbs. And a pattern of rings or bands on the cat's tail. True. When I adopted Pratt, they had named him Ringo because when he stands up, you look at him, it looks like a ring on either side. I named him Pratt in honor of Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush, who passed away a couple years ago. Props out to Neil. And that was Neil's nickname, among other things, the professor, Pratt. So I just thought, being a Rush fan, that would be cool to have a cat named Rush and named Neil Pratt. So that's why Pratt is named Pratt. And also, if you look at that ring, it is a ring, but it looks more like the snake eating its own tail, the mythical creature of starting over, the Orboros. I think that's what they call that. I think that show Millennium, that was their logo. And you may see people that have this tattoo. It's basically a snake eating its tail, you know, life starting over, you know, in a circle, the circle of life. So, what else can we say about orange cats? They're unique also in striking appearance. Of course, I think Pratt's the most beautiful cat I've ever seen. And it depends on the temperament and the upbringing. You know, he's pretty laid back. He's actually very timid when it comes to other people. I've had other people in my house before to come by and work on something or do something or sign some papers or whatever it is. And he just looks at me like, wait a minute, there are two of you? I don't think he realizes that there's more than one human, which is fine because that's all he needs. He just needs me. But he's a very loving boy, and we have a lot of fun together. Haven't had any disagreements. Sometimes I'll give him a kiss on the cheek and he'll pop me in, you know, on the side of my face, but I probably deserve that. And it's good to, you know, keep the chops up, you know, very adventurous, mischievous, independent, all the things cats are. He's orange and he's a tabby and his name's Pratt and he's awesome. So, you know, you can't talk about cats without talking about, you know, what some people say, quote unquote, real cats. Excuse me, I have to drink some water. Oh, sorry about that. Wild cats, you know, also known as Fields. Not feral, but Fields. They're not domesticated. You do not want these things in your home. I guess unless you're Mike Tyson. They're all over the world, forests, grasslands, deserts, mountains, and other ecosystems, and they come in a bunch of sizes, behaviors, and they're very adapted to their environments. So here's some ones I think everybody knows. The African lion, you know, that's a big cat, big, big, big cat, you know, and they live in prides. You know, the female is actually bigger than the male, but the male looks bigger because he's got the mane, you know, and you remember him from The Wizard of Oz. And they're not cowards. They are not. That was a play on words by the author of that book. African leopards, beautiful animals, solitary. They're very elusive and can climb. So if you're being chased by one, think you're going to run up a tree, that's not going to work because it's going to come up the tree with you and say, howdy ho. You know, they range from forests to deserts and they're all over Africa and Asia. Cheetahs, you know, they are known for being the fastest or one of the fastest land animals. Apparently, these things can run 70 miles an hour in a sprint. So, yeah, you're going down if you do not run from this. You know, even if you're on in a, well, if you're in a car, you, I don't know. It can probably catch you, but it can't get you because you're in a car. Motorcycle, you're done. You know, parts of Africa, small population in Iran, very, very pretty, pretty creatures. And that the Bengal tiger, is another large species of big cats. You know, Bengals are very big and they have distinctive striped coats. They almost look like tabbies. But it's not that same type of striping. And the stripes are much larger, much wider. They're in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, you know, Bhutan, Myanmar. Excuse me. Jaguars, the Jaguar. Really nice car. And really big cat. known for their stocky body and, you know, powerful jaws. You know, they're in some parts of the Americas, including South and Central America, and known for their ability to swim and hunt in water. A snow leopard, beautiful animals, creatures. They're in the Himalayas, so they're probably hanging with Bigfoot. And, you know, Central and South Asia, beautiful, beautiful cats. And guess what? They're white, so hello. They call them gray white. And sometimes they'll have black spots. I guess the ones they show on TV and the ones I've seen, they're always white. The African serval, that thing is gorgeous. Medium size, not as big as these other cats. It's a medium-sized cat found in Africa. Long legs, large ears, spotted coats, and excellent hunting skills. We have bobcats here in the South. The last place I lived, there were a couple of bobcats, and she had kittens. One morning, I was having coffee and trying to wake up, and just sun's coming up. I was looking, and there's a mama bobcat and two kittens. The kittens are romping in the yard. Mama bobcat's sitting on the patio, you know, like mama bobcats do. Come on now. I could never take, I always try to take pictures because, you know, you explain this to people. You say, hey, I saw bobcats. And I think I took one picture and showed to a friend. It just looks like Bigfoot jumping over the fence. Soon as I see it, it sees me and it says something to the kittens, and the kittens are over the fence in two leaps and mama is over the fence in one leap. And that was that. And they like, well, that neighborhood is known for rabbits. Yeah, rabbits. And the bobcats love rabbits. And I heard a loud, ruckus squeak one afternoon. And that's a rabbit meeting its demise in a bobcat. And I saw the bobcat jump over the fence with the rabbit. So, you know, the circle of life continues there. Bobcats are, they will not mess with you, but do not mess with them. The walk I used to take, a couple of times I stopped it. I learned not to do this out in California because bobcats will attack you in the valleys. But I wasn't bent down tying my shoe. I had my shoe up on a fence post tying my shoe and just looked to one side. I always try to, what's going on, you know, cats, UFOs, you know, homeless people, you know, snakes, you don't know. You know, it's good to be aware of your surroundings. And I caught something and I just looked at it and I just, okay, I walked away from it. I turned around and looked. It was a cat. It was a bobcat sitting motionless, just looking at me. And then it closed its eyes and it disappeared again because I couldn't see its pupils. So we have them here in the South in Texas. I was thinking about cat legends and myths, right? Because there's always, cats always land on their feet. Well, that's true because they got that tail sticking out the back. I think that's what it sounds like when it's all going and stuff. And if you've ever seen those slow motion videos that they, you know, they'll drop a cat, you know, from a 6-foot ladder and he'll ride himself. But that tail is always telling the body, hey, this is where we want to be. And then the feet are like, yep. Pow, coming in for a landing. Living out in Southern California, I had an apartment and it was on the third floor. And props out to City Lights. And it had a really nice balcony, and Mulder and Scully would lounge out there and sit out there and sleep out there and whatever they did. They did their cat stuff. Scully was in the house one afternoon just yelling at me. I go, what's up? What's Mulder gotten himself into? I walked out there. I knew Mulder was on the patio, but he was gone. I'm like, wait a minute. What the F did he do? Look over the balcony, and he's down on the ground down there on the green belt, just standing there. I'm like, Mulder! You know, and he's like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Like, hang on. I ran down there, picked him up. Apparently he jumped or he fell. I'm thinking fell because this particular patio, you know, it's concrete. And then on top was this long pole-like structure. It wasn't fencing. It was this pole-like thing. And he could walk on either side of that. And the one on the inside, he walked on. If he fell off that, he just fell onto my balcony, whatever. You know, just probably 2 feet, boom. 3 stories, though. And he probably misstepped, or maybe he was chasing. He's probably chasing something, probably a bug or something. He probably jumped at it. And I think he landed in the bushes because I got him upstairs and he, you know, under his armpits, if you will, he had a couple of scratches and he could only have gotten that from hitting branches. So we stayed in the house the rest of the day. We did not go out on the patio. Crazy son of a gun. There are various legends and myths and folklores and different cultures from around the world. Here are a couple of them. Cats are good luck. Many cultures, cats are believed to bring good luck. Japanese believe the Menkai Niko, or the beckoning cat, is a common talisman believed to bring good fortune and prosperity to its owner. Okay. Often depicted as a cat, you know, with one paw raised in a welcoming gesture. You may have seen this in a Japanese restaurant, or Japanese coworkers have this. You may see that one where it's animated, where the cat's like going, hey, what's up? It's almost like a cat high five. In Egypt, their mythology, cats were revered, almost worshipped and considered to bring good luck and protection. And they were associated with the goddess Bastet. And they actually mummified cats. So they'll dig up a pharaoh or a thing, and there'll be like all these cats all wrapped up, like, whoa, what the heck? You know, and they unwrap them or they x-ray them, and they've been treated just like the pharaoh. So, you know, something was up with the ancient Egyptians and cats. Well, you can't talk about cats without talking about witches and witchcraft. You know, they were associated with witchcraft. You'll see the old black cat around, you know, Halloween. you know, those superstitions. European folklore, cats are believed to have magical powers and associated with witches, and often depicted as witches' familiars, kind of like vampires' familiars are typically humans. And witches' familiars are cats a lot of times, and they're typically black, super jet black. Mulder and Scully were tuxedo cats, black and white. They look like they had tuxedos on. Never had a jet black cat. Of course, you're with witches, you're going to be, you know, persecuted in the Middle Ages, and a lot of them were burned with the witches. So just like, you know, they were mummified with the pharaohs, then they got burned. People also burned them because of disease carried by rodents, you know, such as the bubonic plague. They were trying to wipe that out as well. Oh, and then the whole nine lives. Well, cats have nine lives. Well, you know, Mulder, you know, yeah, he was down to probably, see, he rode a box down a flight of stairs one afternoon when I was moving. That was funny as stuff. Fell off the thing, jumped off the thing, however you want to say it. No run-ins with big dogs, no. So I think Mulder was probably, he didn't die from bobsledding down the stairs in a cardboard box. That was just funny. So probably, he was probably eight. But yeah, apparently they're supposed to have nine lives, and being able to cheat death is a common myth. And that's attributed to perceived ability to escape from danger or situations and land on their feet. You know, say, you know, he or she landed on their feet. That's a compliment for being able to, you know, adjust to life's, you know, what life throws at you. You know, I think popular culture is, you know, it's purely symbolic, and it's not really grounded in reality. So, but that's one of them. Cats and superstitions, various superstitions. Of course, we were talking about the black cat crossing your path. It's a bad omen. A cat, you know, bad luck. Let's see. I'm just reading these, so I had to look these up. Right. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't really make sense. They're all black cats. So apparently people don't are scared of black cats. Apparently, you know, they're scary. They will give you dread. I always heard that that a cat will suck a baby's breath. That is not true. That is the original old wives' tale. Typically, a cat will lay on your stomach, and an infant is no different because it wants to get warm. It doesn't want to suck your breath. And then cats and mythical creatures. Cats have been associated with mythical creatures in folklore and mythology for a long time. North, there's the Skog cat, a forest-dwelling cat-like creature believed to have magical powers. That does not sound cool. Celtic is the cat Sith. So I guess it's got some Star Wars going on. But it's a fairy creature that takes the form of a large black cat with a white spot on its chest. They have various powers and abilities associated with cats. Shape-shifting, luck-bringing, supernatural strength. Well, that's a couple of them. I've heard of some of those. I didn't know the one about the fairy cat. That sounds weird. You know, there are a lot of reasons to love cats. The International Cat Association says the exotic short hair is the breed that resembles a Persian cat but has shorter hair, making it easier to groom, and is the number one cat in the United States. Two is Persian, three Maine Coon, four Siamese, and five Ragdoll. I personally believe orange tabbies are number one, but that's the exotic short hair. You know, he's orange short hair. The only really thing about short hairs are, you know, when you have a carpeted place and you vacuum, you don't see a lot of the carpet. If you have hardwood, like the last place I have and this new place I have has hardwood, and eventually you'll see dust bunnies. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Well, that's cat hair. You know, it doesn't adhere to the carpet. It just rolls around like tumbleweed, and it gets all together. And before you know it, you got a softball of cat hair. So, you know, vacuum your houses, everybody. Probably same thing happens with dogs and, you know, chinchillas and whatever else. Let's see. Okay, yeah, we talked about grandmother and mother. I loved grandmother. Big, big, old, beautiful white cat. Mother was a little different from grandmother. She was kind of stealthy, if you will. You know, Mulder and Scully were both tuxedo cats, but they were from two different litters. When I went down to the Dallas SPCA to look for kittens to adopt, they were in this little cage together. They were born at the same time from different mothers. However, they were both from parking garages in downtown Dallas, stray feral kittens, and but from different mamas, because Mulder was a big old chunky guy. If you've seen photographs of him, if you know me, and Scully, she was a little more not tabby looking, Siamese looking. And Scully always knew when I was sick, when I was sad, I was happy. She was one of the most intuitive creatures I've ever been around. Loved her to death. To Paul, just a funny looking little thing. When I adopted her, she would prance around like a bulldog. She had her legs were kind of splayed out in the front. She grew up, her legs got straight, and she had this bulldog tooth sticking up out of her, so I had to have that removed when she was a kitten. And she was just as cute as she could be. Of course, Mulder and Scully, named for the FBI agents on the X-Files. To Paul, you know, that's Star Trek Enterprise, Vulcan officer on the Star Trek Enterprise. Grandmother, just because she was mother's mother. Black Butt, because I was a young kid and thought, oh, that was a black cat. But I didn't have him, but okay. So it's the closest thing I got to a black cat. and then Russell, another striped tabby, gray. And Montezuma was a lightly striped gray. So, you know, have these dark grays and light grays. I just think it's interesting, you know, Mississippi, you know, Smokey was from Houston, Texas. Mulder and Scully were from Dallas, Texas. T'Pol was from Tyler, Texas. Russell was from Tyler, Texas, and Pratt is from Addison, Texas. So, you know, I just want to talk about something a little lighter and, you know, spend some time with you, and it doesn't involve, you know, diving deeply into, you know, philosophy or technology or cars or anything. Just cats are cool. I'll probably do one of dogs. I may have to get some help with the dog one because I've had dogs. No, I didn't have dogs. My family had dogs. But when I grew up and moved out of the house, I never had a dog. The women that I've been involved with all had cats. So, not really sure what's going on there, but it's just a kind of a, I'm a cat daddy, bro, you know, cat daddy. So I'll probably get some help with the dogs. So I hope you enjoyed this and, it was, lighthearted and gave you a chance to smile. And remember, accelerate with confidence.